Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. Many of us have an idea in the back of our heads that one of these days we'll leave the rat race behind and learn to live off the land a bit more. Maybe grow our own food, perhaps live off the electric grid, maybe even make your own cloth. Kind of like how your great-grandparents lived, but with better plumbing.
But for most of us in the 21st century, life skills that were second nature to our ancestors are mostly lost to us. And that is something the Driftless Folk School, based in Viroqua, Wisconsin, is working hard to reverse. Peruse their catalog to find such course offerings as homesteading, folk music traditions, or how to make butter.
Mary Lou LaMonda is the Folk School's executive director. Jacob Hunt is currently the president of the school's board of trustees. He's also one of the founders of the school. LaMonda joined me in the studio, and Hunt joined us by phone from the school's offices in Viroqua to give us some background.
So the Driftless Folk School has been operating for over 9 years now, and we operate from a lot of different locations here in the western part of Wisconsin, Vernon County, specifically the area around Viroqua, Wisconsin, Lafarge, Wisconsin. And the basic idea of the folk school started with basically neighbors sharing skills and knowledge with neighbors. Skills necessary for living in the country, for preserving food, for gardening, crafts, folk arts, and that's those kinds of things. And these are classes that many of them are taught in people's homes or farms or, you know, workshops and other community spaces in the area. And in the last couple of years, we have started the process of developing a permanent campus on a site near little town of Lafarge, Wisconsin, that is developing into really a showcase location for environmental building and sustainable agriculture and just a gathering spot for people who come and participate in the folk school, which is, you know, about 50-50 local people from our area and about 50% people from outside of the area. Plenty of people from Milwaukee, but also Chicago, from the Twin Cities, from Madison, and even farther afield.
So you have courses that would, say, run an afternoon all the way to courses that last much longer than that?
Yeah. So our typical classes are 3 or 4 hours to a full day on a weekend. We do offer a few classes, an increasing number, that are 3 days to a full week of intensive classes.
This is reminding me a lot. I'm showing my age here. It's reminding me a lot of the effort in the early 70s, a lot of the cooperative effort and the communal farms and that sort of thing. The idea of sharing knowledge that was going to get lost otherwise,
uh-huh.
And the idea of training people on how to live off the land more gently, how to, you know, produce your own food, produce your own clothing, that sort of thing. Is this born out of that movement?
The folk school movement is actually really quite old. It goes back to the mid-19th century in Scandinavia. Denmark, the first place where they had folk schools, and today it's a big cultural institution in Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and other places in the world, but really the homeland of it is Scandinavia, and there are places here in the upper Midwest where Scandinavians brought that idea. But also it took root in Appalachia in the 1920s and 30s, and there's some older folk schools in Tennessee and North Carolina that go back to that era. And yeah, certainly found in the Back to the Land movement in the 60s and 70s and beyond, you know, another like a burst of interest in it. And this area of the state, the Driftless area of southwestern Wisconsin, is a place with a lot of Back to the Landers and, you know, organic farming, you know, food co-ops, and these institutions of people really interested in, you know, making the necessities for their own life is really an important part of the culture. And so it really is related to that history.
Yeah, I would also say that the Driftless area is quite unique in that many people did move there in the 60s and 70s, and they've gained numerous skills. In addition, there's the Amish community, which has a vast number of very ancient and ongoing skills, and sometimes they've taken our courses and even taught some of our courses. So those skills are really what's being lost in many places. And in addition to learning new skills, I think it's a lot about people feeling like they want to empower themselves and their local communities. Even it happens here in Milwaukee. There's a lot of maker spaces, and that's very much the folk school tradition, is sort of each one teach one. But the beauty of the Driftless area is the number of people that are out there that have honed these skills over many years, whether it's birch bark basket making or old timber frame building, which was, you know, the traditional way of the way people built. homes and buildings and barns and that sort of thing. And also a lot of culinary skills and craft making that are disappearing quickly. So it's that, and it's also what makes the folk school really unique is people coming together from – we have classes where there's 10-year-olds right up to 75, 80-year-olds.
So you've got an age spread as well.
Absolutely.
As a geographical spread.
Yep. And we have the expertise of – because of so many people that have moved and made this place their home – we have over 150 teachers to choose from that offer courses that, you know, cross a gamut. We're even doing a lot of alternative energy this year. We're going to be doing homebrewed wind, and it's actually building your own windmill because we have two of the best experts in the country that have been doing this for the last 20 years.
Well, that leads into one of the questions I had was, are there modern skills that are being
Absolutely.
Taught in addition to some of the older ones?
Yep. We just built a cabin on the land, and it's all being run by photovoltaic. We have a great guy in the area – well, a number of people in the area that teach photovoltaic. That's one. We're also doing wind power. Cuisine is really kind of interesting. Gluten-free and all of the sauerkrauts and, you know, traditional ways of preserving food through fermentation. That's very popular courses. We're also teaching tiny home construction, which has become super popular.
I was going to say, that's huge.
Yes.
Now, oddly enough to say a tiny home thing
yes.
is huge, but it really is.
It is.
Seems like it's all over the internet and everybody is looking to downsize and everybody is looking – or at least having the fantasy that they could live in
yes.
400 square feet that they built themselves. How is all of this funded? Do people pay for these courses or do you trade? How does all of that work?
Well, yes, we do. We try and keep them as affordable as possible. Our teachers are all paid. The school has been run for many years by volunteer folks actually organizing the classes, putting together catalogs. We now have two part-time staff, and we do all kinds of fundraising. We've been really fortunate to get grants in the last couple years from Organic Valley, also the Stry Foundation, and some personal gifts from some fantastic contributors because they understand that – as we all know, education is being cut all over the place, that somehow we have to be able to provide affordable education. And our classes, our half-day classes are $45, our full-day classes are $75, and then on from there you get lunch with full-day classes. And this is affordable compared to many folk schools and other places that are teaching. We also do some work-learn where people come in and provide volunteer services to the school. And so then, you know, we try not to deny anyone who really wants to take a class and find funding for them.
We are also developing an increasing array of community events, skill sharing circles, and things like that that are, you know, cheap, you know, free, or like $10 for a session. Things like we have a monthly dance, folk dance event, and we have a spoon carving circle. There's a singing group, and these are, you know, community building exercises as well as, you know, affordable ways for people to learn skills and just share knowledge with each other.
So how do you see this folk school model moving into the future? It sounds like you would get to a critical mass at some point and then it would have to like splinter off into maybe campuses or that sort of thing. Or is the idea that it stays in the community and it just sort of grows organically that way?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, we're at a moment where we as an organization are getting a lot of inquiries from people interested in the idea. A year ago, we hosted a small conference here on the idea of folk schools and similar kind of models of education that drew people from all over the country, from Alaska, from Pennsylvania and Missouri, people who came to talk about this idea. And it's clearly an idea that has a lot of energy at the time right now. And so the Driftless Folk School, we hope to be a real leader in this movement, to build a beautiful campus, and to really share our knowledge of this. But I really think it's an idea that has got wings. It's got an idea. There's a lot of places where it could work well. And I think, I mean, looking far into the future, you know, I think this is the kind of thing you'd want to have just about everywhere, right? These are basic human life skills and really a community-building tool that I think is something that people are really longing for.
Yeah, I would completely agree with Jacob. We're not quite at the point where we're thinking that we're too big. I mean, we'd love to have more folks come and join our classes. We have about 500 people a year that come out for various courses, and we could certainly support more than that. And I think that, like Jacob said, we're trying to be a model of sustainable development. And the other cool thing about actually being in a rural area is you get to test things a little more than you do in a city. I mean, there's codes and all that sort of thing, but we just got funding to do an eco bathhouse. It's a three-season bathhouse with composting toilets and a total water recycling system. It'll be a great testing ground as the campus grows if we want to put in a wetland for gray water and that sort of thing. This will be a great way to just start that. So we're able to kind of grow as the community grows, as people come to the land, as people get involved. I'm now getting phone calls from as far away as Appleton where people want to come and help and, you know, be there for projects on the land. And that's a really exciting thing.
Yeah, you get to make some mistakes.
Absolutely.
And see how it works, because otherwise you don't learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we need to do this a little better, or we need to do this differently to make it do what we wanted it to do in the first place.
Yeah, and we have some land to do that on, and we have the generosity of two owners that gave us 5 acres to, you know, that we're leasing on an ongoing basis, you know, with long-term leases. And they're really excited. It's 120 acres of us getting involved. We're also working with the Mississippi Valley Conservancy in actually putting conservation area on the land. There's a trout creek that runs the full length. We're running our first women's trout fly fishing course. And we're trying to do a lot around restoration of land. There's savanna, there's oak prairie, all that sort of thing, so that we'll do a burn probably in the next year, the first time the land's had that. We're having a guy come in, talk about pollinators and how to graze better and build better pasture land. And the land itself has been organic for many years, and there's a rotational grazing system. So all of those sort of things that are all applicable to rural areas, but they're also applicable to urban areas, because you can look at water reticulation systems, you can look at gray water systems, you can also, even some of the craft we do as far as, like, you can learn how to make cheese at home. I mean, that's kind of a really fun thing. Who knew you can make cheese?
Well, and you can learn how to build and repair your home or those sorts of skills as well.
Yeah, we're even doing a community forum where people can come and bring their building issues. We have a great architect who has built commercial, residential, and on Saturdays, once a month, you can come and bring whatever your building problems are. There's a lot of mold problems because it's a wet area, the Driftless area, in homes, and he can help you with that, or if you're going to build a new building, help you think about some of the design principles of it, or actually help you redesign it. So we're doing that every month. That's a free service to the local community.
Well, it sounds like there's not going to be a lack of things that people need to learn or you know, carry forward. And I think it's encouraging that you've got, you know, young kids going in learning these skills as well. Jacob and Mary Lou, thank you so much for coming in.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for having us.
Jacob Hunt is the president of the Driftless Folk School Board of Trustees. Mary Lou LaMonda is the school's executive director. The current course catalog is online, and there is a link from WUWM.com.
The Milwaukee gospel group Sounds of Faith joins us next ahead of their performance at the Pabst Theater on Friday. We'll hear a few tunes when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.